We begin the current daf himself, the Ksubas daf Kof Hei. We begin on the bottom of Kof Dalma Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Yamad. With the Gemara begin the 13th and last parak himself, the Ksubas Parak Shnei Dayani. Now this parak continues in the beginning of this Mishnah from the continuation of the previous parak discussing the woman's ability to collect her Ksuba and her Mezainis from her husband's estate. Now the Mishnah begins, Shnei Dayani Gezeris. There were two judges of decrees, which the Gemara will explain exactly what is that term mean, that were Har Yibu Yerushalayim, that were in Jerusalem and Yerushalayim, they were Admon, and Chanan ben Avishalom. These were the two judges of Gezeris in Yerushalayim. Now, Chanan Oymer Shnei Devarim. Chanan said two things which the sages didn't agree to, which the coming Mishnahis will delineate. And Admon Oymer Shiva, and he said seven things that the Chacham argued on. Again, that takes up the next couple of Mishnahis. Now, so the Mishnah begins with the first item, that of the first halach of Chanan that the Chacham argued in him, which is continues on the theme of the previous parak. Misha halach l'medin sayam, if someone goes overseas, the ishtei tevas mezainis, and his wife is claiming in the courts sustenance, because the husband has the obligation to provide his wife sustenance, and she says he went overseas and he left me over here, and he didn't provide for me what to eat from, so she's requesting from the courts to allot from her husband's estate mezainis. Chanan says, and this is the first of the two halachas that the Chacham argue with him, as we continue on top of Kaf Hei Amud Aleph. He says, Tishava b'seif. She only takes an oath at the end. In other words, when they ultimately hear that he died overseas, and now she's coming to collect her ksuba, so then she swears that she doesn't have anything, which is generally used in the term of tzrori atfasa. She doesn't have anything that was added on that was she's still holding on to from her husband's estate. In other words, let's say the husband really gave her food to eat, or if he had given her money for the ksuba. And now when she's coming to collect the ksuba, she wants to get more money. Only then do they mandate a shvu, an oath, to say, wait a second, you want to collect your ksuba? First you have to make an oath that your husband didn't give you other things which correlate to the amount of ksuba you want. For example, let's say he left you money for the ksuba itself, then you shouldn't be collecting ksuba. Or let's say when he went overseas and you wanted to eat food, that we gave you money for that, maybe he really left you money, and therefore, so when she wants to eat, then that's not the requirement. As the Mishnah says, "Bloy tishava b'tchila." When she's coming initially to collect money for food, then she doesn't have to take an oath. But however, since ultimately she'll have to take an oath when she wants to collect the ksuba, then she'll have to say she doesn't have anything from her husband's, meaning that what she had gotten from Mezainis was only the food that she did, because she didn't have any food. But if she had, she would have to make an oath and she wouldn't be able to. Same thing is regarding if he had left her money for the ksuba. So since she has to make a shvua b'saif, so Chanan says that she doesn't have to make a shvua in the beginning. Now on that, the Mishnah says, Nechlku olav b'nei kahanim gedoilim v'amru. However, the sons of the kahanim gedoilim argued on him and said, that's not true. They hold tishava b'tchila. She has to make a shvua in the beginning when they're establishing money for her, when she's claiming that she wants money for Mezainis when he's overseas. And the reason being is because she has to swear that he didn't leave me any money for sustenance when he went overseas, and that's why I'm coming to you to give me other monies. Now, the reason why that the B'nai Kam Gedolim argued and said that she has to make a shvua in the beginning, even though Chanan has a good logic in saying, what's the difference? She'll have to make the shvua ultimately so that she didn't have any other monies put aside by him when she has to collect the ksuba at the end, that's because they hold that maybe she's going to die before she collects the ksuba. And it's going to come out that Bezna had given her mezainis, money for food, but inappropriately, because she really had money for food. And she might never come to a time of collecting ksuba, so therefore she has to make a shvu when she wants to collect her food when he's overseas, and a besaif. And ultimately, when she wants to collect money for the ksuba, that maybe he left her money for ksuba and not mezainis, so then she would have to make a shvua at the end also when she wants to collect her ksuba. Now, Amr Abdaisi ben Hirkan is Kedivrayim. He said, like the B'nai Kam Gedolim, that the woman has to make a shvua both in the beginning, meaning when she's coming to collect for food, and besaif when she's coming to collect her for ksuba. However, Amr Birchim ben Zaka, he says no. He says, Yafa Amr, Chanan said appropriately, like Teshava el besaif. The shvua is only required at the end when she's collecting ksuba, but not in the beginning when she wants to collect mezainis when her husband is overseas. Now the Gemara asks Birminu. We started off the Mishnah by saying that there were two judges of Gezeris in Yerushalayim, and that's what the coming Mishnah is discussed. Their halachas that the Chacham argued in them. Now, not the Gemara's very meaning, but we learn in the Brisa, it says, Shloisha Dayone, there were three judges, not two, of judges of Gezeilo Yerushalayim. There were judges of theft in Yerushalayim. They were Admon ben Gadai, V'chanan HaMitzri, and V'chanan ben Avishalom. So you have two contradictions. Kasha Tlasa Train. First of all, our Mishnah says there were only two, and the Brisa says there were three. Kasha Gezeilos HaGezeilos. And then you have the difficulty where our Mishnah calls them the judges of decrees, and the Brisa calls them the judges of theft. Now, Tosfos asks, to the contrary, why is that a contradiction? Say that they're two different things. There were judges of theft, which were three, and the judges of decrees, which were two. So on that Tosfos says that, no. First of all, because it's not logical to say that one judge, where the same judge, Chanan ben Avishalom, is mentioned in both the Brisa and the Mishnah, would have two different posts. Because there were many great men in Yerushalayim, and it wouldn't make sense to have one person on both of those groups. Moreover, Tosfos says, according to the interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam, if one person would take two posts, it would more likely be Chanan HaMitzri, who he says that since he's mentioned before Chanan ben Avishalom in the Brisa, was actually more Chashim, and therefore wouldn't make sense that it was one person in two different posts, because Chanan ben Avishalom would not be the one, then it would have been Chanan HaMitzri. So therefore there's two contradictions. So on that, the Gemara says, Bishlam et Tlasa Trein Lekasha, we could answer the question of three and two. The Chashiv Leketani, that who was Chashiv, more respected, is mentioned in our Mishnah. The Loi Chashiv Leketani, the one that's not as respected, is not mentioned, which would be Chanan HaMitzri. However, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Tam that we just mentioned before, that held that actually Chanan HaMitzri is more Chashiv, who's only mentioned in the Brisa, because he's mentioned first in the Brisa, he explains that Chashiv Lei means to say that which we're counting in the Mishnah, because of why we're talking about the Dayani Gezeris, only because that the Chacham argued on them, that was only by Chanan ben Avishalom and by Admon, and didn't apply to Chanan HaMitzri. That's what means Chashiv Leketani, that who we're counting regarding that they're argued on, those I mentioned, but there were really three, as it says in the Brisa. So that answers the question of three and two. El Gezeris, Exilis, Kashim, but what's the understanding? Were they judges of decrees or of theft? So then Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, he says, it's actually the same. Because they made decrees. In other words, they made penalties al gezeilus regarding theft. So they were gezeir gezeirus on gezeilus. As the Gemara says, Ketan, like learn the Brisa, which is brought in Masechta Baba Kama, regarding an animal that enters into the damaged party's domain. And in that damaged party domain, the animal creates damages. Now, on that the Brisa says, if kitmon neti, if let's say the animal uproots a sapling, a small little beginning of a tree. So the question is, how much do you evaluate that tree for the requirement of the mazik, but the damaging animal's owner to have to pay? So Rabbi Yisim, he says, Geizri Gezerish Rabbi Yerushalayim, this is where we're saying that they're the judges of decrees, meaning regarding theft and things like that, like damages. They say, Netia Bashanasa, if it's a sapling in its first year, Shtei Kesem, then you give 2 coins. If it's in the second year, then Arbaketsa, then you give 4 coins. And therefore, so we answer the question. 2 is really 3, just those which were Chasha, we mentioned the Mishnah, and the Brisa mentions all of them. And they were Gezer Gezeris of Gezelis. Now, the Nittig Mar still asks, but for a minute we learn in the Brisa that says, Shlisha Dayan Gezeris of Yerushalayim, there were 3 judges of decrees in Yerushalayim. They were Admon, V'chanan, V'nochum. That's not the 3 that we had in the first Brisa. So how could it be 3 if there was also Nachum? So Amar Papa says, Man Tana Nachum, who is the Tana that taught that Nachum was one of the Dayanim Gezer Gezeris? That's Reb Nosson here. It's Reb Nosson. And therefore that doesn't contradict the other Brisa, which doesn't hold like Reb Nosson. The Tana, like Linda Brisa, Reb Nosson, I mean, he says, Af Nachum Hamadi, also Nachum Hamadi, Mi Gezer Gezeris, Reb Yishalayim Hayu. But, V'lohayt L'chacham. The sages didn't agree to Reb Nosson that Nachum was one of them. That's why there was only 3 and not like 4 like with Nachum. Now that the Gemara asks, but the Sulaka, were there no more than 3? But Vamir Pinchas Amar Rabbeisha, he says, Shalosh Meis V'Tishim V'Arba Batei Dinim. There were 394 courts of 23 judges each in that court. Hayu B'Yerushalayim, that was in Jerusalem. And connecting, correlating to that, were the same amount of Batei Knesses, of Shuls to Davenin, connecting Batei Midrashas, and correlating to that same number of 394, they were different study halls to learn Mishnayos and Talmud, and the connecting Batei Sefer, and correlating to them were the amount of schools where children learn, So how can you say there were just three judges when there were 394 courts of 23 judges each? So that the Gemara says, no, Dayan and Tuval, of course, in Yerushalayim, there were many judges. When we said there were three, Akrezi Gezer is coming. We meant regarding those who judged the decrees of the penalties of the theft and damages, that there were only three judges. Now, a related discussion regarding these Gezer Gezeres, Amr Yehuda Marabasi says, Gezer Gezer Shebishlaim, these judges of decrees in Jerusalem, their payment for their work, for their judging cases, they took 99 mana, mitrumas halishka. Now the trumas halishka was that every single person every year would give a machzis, a shekel, to Hekdesh. Then they put it into one big place, and then they would take out trumas, take out different baskets from that big lishka of the place where all the machzis, a shekel were, which were used to buy the karbanas. Now the leftovers from that trumas halishka was where the judges would get their panasa from, their livelihood. And because they didn't do any other work, because they were busy making these gezer gezeres, that's why they got paid from the trumas halishka. But loy ratzu, they didn't want. So meisimilem, they would add on more than 99. So they must loy ratzu. If they didn't want to take 99, then they would add more. What do you mean? Atu b'rishiyaskin? Are we talking about wicked people? Meaning who take more, they take more for judging than what they need for their livelihood? Why would they need to take more? Elarad, the Gemara says, what it means is loy safku. If it wasn't enough, 99 ma, for their sustenance, let's say a large family or other needs, then afa pisha loy ratzu. What it means is that even if they didn't want to take, they would add on more, because since they were busy doing these public services of being making these decrees of the penalties of how much damages and theft, so therefore, whatever it is that their needs were, they were met by the Trumas Alishka. Now, a related discussion to this about judging court cases and about getting paid, Karna have a shakal estira. Karna would take a sela mizakai from the victorious party, vistir mechayev, and would take a istira, the same amount, from the liable party. In other words, from the two litigants, he would take money, and v'dan l'hudina, and then he would judge their court case. I mean, obviously, he didn't know who zakai and chayev going in, but in other words, from each party, he would take money. That's how he would get his livelihood. Now the Gemara asks, "V'heicha abad hachi? How did Karna do this?" But v'ksev the pasuk in Shema, he says, "V'shoich lo yisikach." He can't take a bribery. How could he take from litigants money that he's judging their court case? Now on that, the Gemara says, "V'chitim." And if you're going to say, "Hanamili heicha lo yishakalu shakal mitarvayu," maybe you're going to say, "When is bribery forbidden? When you're taking money from a litigant?" That's only if you don't take from both of them, because dima aslets lo yidin. Because then you're going to come to pervert and to bend the court case, because you're taking only from one and you begin to slant to him. But Karna keeping the shakal mitavayu leyoslets loyidina, but Karna took from both, he's not going to come to judge either way, because both of them are giving him, so that equals out the balances. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'chila aslets loyidina mishari, do you think it's permitted to take money from litigants even if you're not going to be slanting it one way or the other? But v'tani lina b'raisa that says, and the person should not take bribery. Now, matamalema, what's that teaching? As the Bryce explains, im lalamit shalil lazakas is a chayv, if it's coming to teach us that you shouldn't make meritorious he who is liable, and v'shalil lachayv is a zakah, and neither to make liable the one who is really the one that should be winning. Ma'arik far nema, the pasuk already says in devom lesata mishpat that you can't pervert, you can't slant the judgment. Why would I need the sheikha to tell you can't do that when we know you can't do it, even without that? Ella fill lazakas is a zakai. Ulachayev is a chayev. Rabbi Bryce says that even if you're taking the money for someone that was going to win to make sure that he wins, and the one that was going to lose to make sure he's going to lose, on that amr tayr of a shaykh le sikach, on that the tayr still says you can't take bribery. You can't take money from the parties that you're judging because of the perversion of the justice, even if you're doing it for what is the appropriate halacha. So how could Karen have taken money, even if he's taking for both, where it's to make zakas a zakai, b'chayev is a chayev? And that thing says, Hanimili, when did we say you can't take money? Even if you want to do the real halacha, that's heichad eshakal b'tarei sheichad. That's only if you're taking it in the context of bribery. Meaning the person who's giving him the money is saying, look, if I'm zakai, if I'm really meritorious, I'm giving you money that just don't make me liable, just do the right thing. Meaning he's concerned for, let's say, a perverted judge. I'm giving you money just not to make me wrong, not to make me right if I'm wrong. If I'm right, to make me right. Even that is forbidden because it's still in the context of a bribe. Karna, Betiris, Igra, Vashakal, but Karna was taking it as payment for the work, for the effort that he was putting in. That's why I'm just taking payment for as acting as a judge, for as a job. But not because of the regarding the outcome of how he's going to judge. And therefore that was permitted. Now that the Gemara asks, Betiris Igra Mishari, is it really permitted to take money even in the context of payment for the judge, for the court case? But now we learn the Mishnah that says, if a judge takes money to adjudicate a court case, Dina Batalin, his judgments are nullified. You can't take money even to judge a court case. So Anetik Gemara says, Hani Mili Agri Dina. That's only the, if the judge is taking money for as to for regarding the actual the judging of the case, where he says, look, I'm not going to tell you the judgment unless you pay me a certain amount of money. That is also inappropriate. And then his din of abetela. Karna agar betela. Karna wasn't taking money for the judgment. You have to pay money to get a court case heard. He was just taking money for the work that he was missing out on Havashaka. That's what he was taking. You're not paying me for judging the court case. That I'm doing for free. But just you have to compensate me for the loss of other work that I would have. And that's okay. Now that the Gemara says, agar betela mishari, is it really true that that's permitted to take money for work that you're missing out on, to be compensated for that? But V'tanil in the Braisa, it says, M'chur hadayin sh'nitl schar lodun. A judge that takes payment for judging a court case is disgusting, is repulsive. Elash adina din, but his judges are valid court cases. Now that the Gemara says, hey, what's that case talking about? Ilema agardina, if it's saying that he's charging for the actual court case to be heard and for the verdict to come out, that is dinoy din. That's like what this Bryce says. Then his judgments will be a judgment. But v'tan lo in the Bryce recorded before, hanoitzuschar lodin dina betelim. If someone takes money for judge for judgment, then they're nullified. And as we said before, that's regarding eger dina. Ela agar betelim must mean that this Bryce is talking about even if he's just getting payment for compensation for the work that he's missing out on for his spending time judging your court case. And yet, we still say that's mechur. So how could Karna do this? So that the Gemara says, "Hani mili betela d'le muchacha." When did this brisa say that it's mechur? Even just to be compensated for work that you could have been doing, that's only if it's not obvious. Meaning, it's not obvious that he had other work to do. So then, it's still mechur because no, they don't know that you're taking the money for the schar betela. But Karna betela d'le muchacha have a shakal. But Karna, everyone knew that he had other work to do. And if he's judging your court case, the money that you're giving him is just to compensate him for that loss, and you're not giving any money, and it doesn't enter the arena at all of a sheikh le'sikach because it's not for the court case itself. As the Gemara illustrates, he would smell by the wine storehouses to say, this one will last, this one will be spoiled soon, so you should sell it now. And the Yavale Zuzan, they would give him money for doing this job. And he always had that opportunity to do that type of work. And therefore, if he's judging your court case, you know that he's missing out on his other work. And therefore, the schar betela is permitted. It's not even mechur hadavar because it's so obvious. And the Gemara says, kiha. Similarly, as we find that schar betela is permitted, the Rav Huna, like Rav Huna did, ki havo asa din l'kameh, when he had a court case come in front of him, so amalu, he would tell them, havuli gavar didalili. Give me another person that will draw up water to water my fields, becharikoi, in my place, and then the edun lechodina, then I'll judge for you the court case. In other words, I have other work to be doing. You want me to judge your court case? You got to pay me just because I'm what I'm losing out for my other work. And again, that's because schar betel demuchach is permitted. Now, the Gemara continues on this concept of shoychad. Amar bavo, bo yurei, come and see. How blind are the eyes of those who receive bribery? Because Adam Chashbeinim, if someone has an ailment in his eye, now nice and mum and l'reife, he'll pay money to an eye doctor. Savik misrape, savik in misrape, maybe he'll be healed, maybe he won't be healed. But a person will go to the extent because his eyesight is so important. But vehein, these judges, night and shava pran, what do they do? They take a small denomination of a coin. Something that's not even worth that much. And that itself blinds their eyes. Shalom, like it says, the pasuk in Shemais, because bribery blinds those who could see. How blind they are to do this, to accept the bribery. Tarban, similarly, within the Braisa, a similar pasuk in Devarim says, Here it says a little bit different. It says, because bribery blinds the eyes of the wise men. Now, the Braisa says, Kavochem atipshim. For sure, it blinds the eyes of the foolish. Moreover, it says in the Pasuk, Visalv divrei tzadikim, and that it switches and perverts the words of the righteous. Kavochem l'rasham, for sure, the wicked. Now, that the question is, Midi tipshim v'rasham b'nei dinanin? What do you mean? Think foolish and wicked people are judges? The ones who are getting bribed are judges. What's the point of saying Kavochem for rasham and for tipshim? To Elohim, rather, this is what it's saying. Because bribery blinds the eyes of the wise. What it means to say is that even if he's a great wise person and he takes bribery, he's not going to pass away from this world before he's already has the blindness of his heart. And Bisalav David Tzadikim, this that it perverts the words of the righteous, we continue on Tamid Beis. What it means to say is that even if originally he was a totally righteous person, but he takes bribery, he will not pass away from this world without having confusion of thought. And what the Pasuk is saying according to the Braisa is that yes, for sure, that's what the Kavol Chaim is, for sure his eyes will be blinded when he's going to be a foolish person at the end, since he's been taking bribery, and then he's going to sit down to judge. For sure what he's going to say is going to be perverted and he's going to be blinded because of all the past briberies that he's been taking. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amor, Rav Dimi came, he said, Darish Rav Nachman Bar Kohen. Mind this, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Mishlei? Melech b'mishpat yamet aretz. A king, with his justice, will create an establishment of the land. But v'ish teru maisi harasana. But a man of gifts will destroy it. So the interpretation is, imdoy medayin lemelech, if the judge can be compared to a king, he doesn't need anybody or anything. He's wealthy. He doesn't have to do chanifa. Doesn't have to try to flatter people and try to ingratiate himself by them. So yamed aretz. So that will create an establishment of the land because justice will be justice. But if the judge is like a kohen, shemechaza alagranos, who has to go to the granaries to collect food because the kohen doesn't have any of his own lands, any of his own money, then yersena. Such a judge will create a destruction of the justice process because he's going to have to do chanif, he's going to have to flatter, and he's going to have to try to accept bribes because of the situation that he's in because he relies on other people. Moreover, Amar Rabbi Rav Shila, he says, Hai Dina Deshal Shilta, regarding a judge that commonly borrows items, animals, and vessels from the people in the city, Pasal Maiden Dina, so then he's invalid from being a judge, again, because he relies on them. He's not going to be able to so easily judge them as chayiv. However, v'loimam, we didn't say this, el deles leila oishle. Only if he doesn't have his own items that he lends them. Aval is leila oishle, but if he has his own items to lend them, then that's not a problem, because again, that's reciprocal, and it's not something that he is reliant on them, and therefore perversion of his justice. Now, that the Gemara asks, ini, is that really so? But v'rava shol she'ilta midebe mamirin b'rava, he would borrow items from the household of Bar Marion, Avagav Dalei Shalimene, even though they didn't borrow from him, and still he would judge. Now that the Gemara says, Hasam Lach Shavin Hudabai. The only reason why he borrowed from them was to create them as respectable people. So people see he's borrowing from them, oh, they must be respectable people, but it's not because he needed it, and therefore wasn't reliant on them, and therefore wouldn't pervert his justice. Amar Rabbi says, My time of the Sheikhta. What's the reason? What's the psychological understanding why it's forbidden to take sheichad, bribery, from a person, even if your intention is just to judge it rightfully, to do the one that should be merited, and the one that should be liable, even then it's forbidden. Why? So that the Gemara says, kiven the kabbalei sheichta, because the reason is because the moment you take a bribery from somebody, ikarvalei daiti legabe, you become, your thoughts become close and connected to that person. V'havik gufe. And that person is essentially, you see him as yourself. And the person doesn't see his own flaws and faults. And therefore, he's not going to be able to see the negative and the side of obligation and liability of that person, just like you can't see it by yourself. Even if you're intending to do rightfulness and justice, you're not going to be able to see that part. And that's why it's forbidden. And as the Gemara says, my sheikhad, what's the word of sheikhad? Shehu chad, that he's one. Meaning the giver and the receiver become like one heart. And that's why it's forbidden. Similarly, Amar HaPapi says, Loilidin inesh dina, person should not judge a court case. Laman derachim le, for somebody that he likes. V'lo laman desan le, not for somebody that he hates. The reason being is, derachim le, lechaz lechayba. The one who he likes, he's not going to see any fault. Desan le, lechaz lechus, and the one he hates, he's not going to see any merits. And related to this discussion, the Gemara says, however, Am Abaye says, Haitzuva mirabanan. This Talmudic scholar, the mirachmin le b'nei masa, that the people of his city like him, he says, don't confuse it. La mishum de malik tfeiz, not because he's a great person. It's because he doesn't rebuke them in the affairs of heaven in regards to their Torah mitzvahs. Now, Amar Rava, related Rava says, Mireish Havamin, originally I said, that Hani b'nei Mechuzah, the people of Mechuzah, which were from the city of Rava, Kulurachmali, I thought they all liked me. But, Kivin d'Havyudayna, once I started judging them, Amin, I said, Minayu, some of the people, Sanuli, they hate me, and some of them like me, the ones who, when I judged them, went out meritorious. They said, oh, he's a good judge. And the other ones who said, who were liable, he says, oh, yes, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then they hated me. Now, however, he says, Kivin the Chazai, but once I saw, demand the Machayiv Leherinna, the one who I said that they're liable today, Kazachi Lamachar, then the next time they came to court, they won. So I mean, I said, look, Imarachim, if they like me, Kulurachim, they all like me. He missed, and if they hate me, then cool under, then they all hate me, because it wasn't about winning or losing, because they see that I'm fear. And if they lose now, they win later. It must be that it has nothing to do with coming out Chayav or Zakai. And if they hate me, they all hate me. If they like me, they all like me. Turn on, learn the Brisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'sheich li'sikach, you shouldn't take a bribe. Now, on that, the Brisa says, Ein etzarach le'mesheich ha'man. We don't have to say that you now take a bribe of money. Elafala sheich ha'dvaram na'me'as, even a bribe of words or of other things are also forbidden. If it referred only to money, it should say a more specific term of money, which is betza. You shouldn't take money. It doesn't say that. It says shaychad, which makes a person one with another person, even if it's other favors, not that of money. As the Gemara illustrates, what would that mean? Bribery of words. As the Gemara says, Kihad Shmuel, have a other b'maver. Shmuel was passing over a bridge. So this person came and gave him a hand to support him. So Amalei, my Vadaticha, so Shmuel asked him, what are you doing here? So Amalei, Dina Isli, says, look, I have a court case. So Amalei, Pesun Alach L'Dina, says, I'm invalid of being a judge for you because I had the bribery of your assisting me with your hand. Similarly, the Gemara continues with many illustrations of this. Amema have a Yosef a Kadoin Dina. Amema was sitting and judging court cases. Parcha Gadfa Reisha. Now a feather just flew on his head. Asahu gav a shaklis, a certain person came and took it off the rabbi's head. Amalei, Mayava the Tikha says, what are you doing here? So Amalei, Dina Isli, says, I have a court case. Amalei, Pesin Alach L'Dina, says, I'm invalid of being a judge for you. Similarly, Marukva have a shadi ruka kame. Marukva was passing somewhere and there was spittle in front of him. So Asahu gav a kasi, a certain person came and covered it. So Amalei, Mayava the Tikha says, what are you doing here? So Amalei, Dina Isli, says, I have a court case. Amalei, Pesin Alach L'Dina, I can't be a judge anymore. These are all illustrations of Sheikh Advarm, because of the favors that were done specifically for them. It's a bribery. You feel close to that person, and then it's like yourself, and you can't see those faults. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosi, have a regal arise, his sharecropper would always be accustomed to have a maisili komali Shabbos account to pay. Every Shabbos would bring him his basket of fruit, meaning which was from Rabbi Shmuel's own paradise, from his own orchard. Now, yoyim echad, aisle behebe Shabbat. One time, he came earlier, came on Thursday to bring it to him. So Amalei, Rabbi Shmuel said to Maishno, you know, why is this week different? So Amalei, Dina Isli, says, look, I have a court case. V'amina, agav orchi, Isli, Amalei, says, once I was coming anyway, which the courts are open on Mondays and Thursdays, said, I'll bring it to the master a day early. So look, Kabul Mene, he didn't take it from him. Moreover, Amalei, Bistun Aloch L'Dina, says, I'm invalid to be a judge for you, because he was bringing it specially from a day earlier. Oisiv Zizdi Rabbanu V'Kaidin Alei. So he set up a different pair of rabbis to judge his court case. Now, this, when Rabbi Shmuel was going back and forth, so in his heart, in his thoughts, he was thinking about different ways that his sharecropper could win the court case that he had. And he was opening up different thought processes. And Omar, and he said to himself, he said, if only he would say this claim. If he wanted, he could say this claim. And then he would win the court case. When he realized what he was doing, Omar, he said to himself, that those who receive bribes should have a terrible punishment for them. because he said, Uman Yishli Natalti, if I didn't take bribery, he didn't even take it from him. Vim Natalti Shali Natalti, and if I would take it, I would take my own, these are my own fruits. Kach, still, I had this connection, and I was trying to find favoritism for him winning the court case. So Makabli Sheikh Alachas Kamavakamavash, those that actually receive bribery, and it's not even their own money, for sure that they get perverted, and therefore it becomes a perversion of justice. Shmuel Ber Belisha, Aisile Hahu Gavareish Lekes. A certain person brought him the first shearings, meaning every single year when they shear the animals, then you have to give to the kohen 1/60th. And Shmuel Ber Belisha was a kohen. So someone brought him this first shearings of the wool. So Amalei Mehecha asked him, where are you from? So Amalei Meduch Plan says, I'm from that place. Hasim Lahachal Lahava Kohen Lamezabli asked him, from there to here, you didn't have any other kohen to bring your Reish Lekes to? Somebody said, the man told him, look, Dina Islay, I had a court case. Famina, I said, I thought, anyway, I'm going to have to come here for the courts. I'll give it to the master. I'll give it to Rabbi Shmuel Ber Elisha. So Amalei said to him, Besanullah Ladina says, if that's the case, then that's Sheikhad. I'm possible for the court case. So the couple, and he didn't even take it from him. So So he set up a different pair of rabbis to judge his court case. And again, as in the previous illustration. As he was going back and forth, he was saying, oh, if he would say this, he would win. If he would say this, he would win. So Omar, he said, that let those who accept bribes have a punishment in their souls. If I didn't even take it, if I took it, I was taking what's rightfully mine. Because the Kohen is supposed to get Reish Lekes. And look at how my thought process was. Those who receive bribes, all the more so. Rav Anan, Aishleahu Gavar Kanta de Gildoni de Begile. There was a certain person that brought him a dish of small fish. So Amalei Maiva the Tichet asked him, what are you doing here? Amalei Dinisli says, I have a court case. So Loi Kabul Bina, he didn't take it from him. Amalei Pesan Loch Ladin says, I'm invalid to be a judge for you. So Amalei, so the man said to him, okay, Dina de Mar Lebina, I don't need you to judge my court case. But Kabuli Loi Kabul Mar, I want you to receive this gift that I'm bringing to you. I don't want you, the master, to hold me back from sacrificing bikurim. The time like another brisa, the pasuk Melachim Beis it says, the ish bo mi bal shalisha. There was a person that came from bal shalisha. Vayove le Israel kim lechem bikurim. He brought to the man of God, a reference to Elisha, the bread of bikurim, which were esrim lechem sa'arim, 20 breads of barley, and the karmel betzikloinei and the fresh grain in its husks. Now the question is, was Elisha eating bikurim? Bikurim was that the first fruits that ripen of the Shivas Aminim would be brought up to the Beis HaMikdash and given to the kohen. But Elisha wasn't a kohen, as we find Divrei Yom that his yichus, his lineage is on his father's side from Shevet Gad. So he's obviously not a kohen, so why is it saying that he brought up bikurim to the Ishalikim to Elisha? Is coming to tell you, call maybe during the Talmud Chacham, whoever brings a gift to a Talmudic scholar, Kilo Makir Bikurim, it says, if he has brought Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the man said to him, look, to Rav Anan, even you're not going to be my judge, but I want to give you a gift because you're a Talmud Chacham, it's like I brought Bikurim. So, Amalei, so Rav Anan said to him, look, fine, Kibilu Lebe'ina Dikabal, truthfully, I didn't want to accept your gift. But Hashtu the Amalei Tam, and now that he told me the reason, Mikabilna, I'll accept it. But he couldn't judge his court case because of Sheikhad. So Shadre le Kamed Rav Nachman, he sent him to Rav Nachman. And Shalach le, he sent the following message. It says, Nidaini mar lahai gavra, please judge this person's court case. Da no anan pistol ne leladina, because me, anan, I'm invalid of judging his court case. Now, Amar, so Rav Nachman said to himself, Midashalach le hachi, if this is the memo that he sent me, Shmamina Kurvehu, obviously he's his relative, and that's why he's possible to judge his court case, like Karev Mar forbidden. Now, he didn't know that it's possible because of Sheikhad, that he didn't entertain. So have a koim dina diyas mekame. At that time, when Rav Nachman received that memo, he was going to judge the court case of an orphan. So Omar, he said to himself, as we can see on top of Kavav Man Aleph, hi, I say, judging the court case that I have in front of me is a positive commandment, which is for a judge to judge, as it says with Shvatatem Tzedek. But v'hai, I say, judging this other person's court case coming from Rav Anan is also a positive commandment. And actually, it's even better because I say the covered Torah, a positive commandment of honoring Torah, which is judging this person, is a positive commandment because by judging the relative of Rav Anan, you're honoring the covered Torah of Rav Anan. So Adav Dead's better. So Salki Ledina Diyasmi, he left the judging of the orphan. The Achte Ledina, and he went to judge this other person's court case. Now, Kivin the Chaza Baldine. Now, once the other litigant of this other person's court case saw Yikra de Ko'avale, the great honor that they're doing for him, where he stopped judging one court case, says, oh, come quickly, and then bring your other party to judge. Istatlim Tanosli, he couldn't make his claims, and he wasn't able to aptly defend himself regarding the court case that he had with this other person because of this appearance of the great honor, because it seemed like he was a relative of Rav Anan. Now, consequently, the Gemara says, Rav Anan have a regular Eliyahu d'Askabe. Rav Anan always had it accustomed that Eliyahu Navi would come to him. Davamasni le seded Eliyahu, who he would teach him the order of Eliyahu. Now, however, Kivan David Hachi, once this incident happened, is stalik. So he stopped coming to Rav Anan, again, because of what he had done, inadvertently, obviously, caused a perversion of justice by the other person not being able to say his claims. Now, Yasa b'taniso boi rachman, but he sat in fasting and he beseeched mercy. Vasa, then Eliyahu Navi came back. Kiasa, when he came, havimavis lebuusi, he frightened Rav Anan. So va'ovet tevus of Yosef kame, so he made a box, Rav Anan, and that's how he sat to learn from Eliyahu HaNavi now. Ad the apik le'sidra, until he finished teaching him the whole seder of Eliyahu. V'hayni da'ami, that's what they said, that the tand of Eliyahu, what they were teaching is seder l'Eliyahu Rabba, which was that which he had learned out of the box, and seder l'Eliyahu Zuta, that's which he had learned, which is called the small order of Eliyahu, which he had learned inside the box, which Taisus says that the reason is because since he split up the learning that he had with Rav Anan, so it split into two parts. Now the first time was when he had learned the bulk of it, that's what it's called Tzed Eliyahu Rabba, the large order of Eliyahu, and the later time when it was just finishing it up, which was the smaller amount, which called Seder Eliyahu Zuta.